Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
The internet can be your window to the world, or an open door that lets cyber criminals in. Online theft, webcam spying, and identity fraud are all on the rise. But you can stay safe with Kaspersky Lab, the world's most awarded internet security. Kaspersky protects your money, privacy, identity, and data with technology perfected over 20 years. So keep exploring. Kaspersky Lab will keep you safe online. Learn more at Kaspersky.com.
I had a Britney Spears, or not a Britney Spears, it was a Spice Girls poster in my bedroom. Yeah.
Was it all wrinkly?
Well, not, no. But, like, it was well used.
Holy fuck!
Who disrupts my coronation?
Everyone has been destroyed because of this freak! I won't allow it!
These babies just saved this lame death party!
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Wait, I function!
I always say, hey, I always say,
go!
I always say,
dum-dum,
libbity-dum!
Run, we can't give up!
Yeah, say that all the time!
I always say,
hey, I always say,
go!
I always say,
say,
dum-dum-dum! Stop!
Autobots, roll out!
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome out to Twig, the flagship of stupidity and bizarreness, as you can gather. I am your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. I am joined with my intrepid trio. No, duo. Duo, yes.
We're a trio as a group, but you're not joined by yourself.
I have a conjoined twin somewhere. I'm joined with...
He's mostly dead.
Are you pointing at me?
Yes, for a change.
It's Alex, right. I need to have a better way of saying my name.
Because you're always, like, surprised, like, Alex?
Hello, it's Alex.
Alex.
I have a name. So, yes, welcome back to the show.
I'm Mr. Christopher.
That's our Mr. Christopher. We love him. So, hopefully you are enjoying the summer of stupidity here on Twig as we've launched a bunch of new shows. We've had Turtle Treasure. We just had this week Botched Roll, which has come back, which is a tabletop role-playing discussion show. And I might tell some stories on there, maybe give some opinions. But mostly I'll be talking about tabletop role-playing games. This past week, I talked about crossovers. And one of the more interesting ideas that came out of that was Mass Effect meets Star Wars. You want to know more? Go find out. Can Darth Vader beat Harbinger? Well, you'll have to listen to find out to get the answer to that question. Other than that, this past week, what have we all been up to this past week, actually?
Me? I have been frantically trying to beat Shining Resonance Refrain, a RPG from Sega that took 40 hours. Frantically trying to get through that so I could end up playing the Octopath Traveler that came out yesterday. And I've got like an hour into that because I've been trying to prep a RPG that we just played, as well as go through a crap ton of movies that I have to review, and planning, setting up shows. It's been sort of a very, very hectic production week, for me at least.
Yeah, myself, I've been reviewing a lot of movies, a couple of games. I played arguably one of the worst ports I've ever played for a game. A game called Sudden Strike, which you'll hear later in this show. Which, Christ Almighty, I don't know how you fuck something up that bad.
Whenever I hear it, all I think of is that Arnold Schwarzenegger Mobile Strike.
Oh, I forgot about that.
When he did, for like 2 years, he did that commercial.
Yeah, it was just bad. You'll hear my review late in the show. Also this week, I've been just kind of watching some movies for review. I'll have a review of Rampage. I'll have a review of A Quiet Place, which actually we have a giveaway for that. Ooh. So until now, until the end of the month, all you have to do to enter the contest is send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net and just send me your name and address, and I will pick a winner at random from all entries. So
Neato.
feedback@thisweekingeek.net. You can win yourself a Blu-ray copy of A Quiet Place, which is a fantastic horror movie that came out earlier this year from Paramount. So be sure to...
And you're saying staff can't enter?
I'm saying staff can't enter, unfortunately.
God damn it.
But if you do not enter via email, you can also reply us on Twitter at thisweekingeek.net, and I will pick a winner at random. So good luck to everybody who enters. I'll have a review of that next week.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that, because that movie was one of the best pieces of sound design I've heard in years. So be looking for that.
Excellent.
So I think what else? Oh, I played The Crew 2 this week. I'll have a review of that for next week. why can't I play good video games? I have questions.
That's why you're going to be playing Dragon Age. I'm going to help you through it because you can't play RPGs anymore, apparently.
Yeah, you know what? Unless it's Skyrim, I really can't, and that's kind of depressing. Which, by the way, since we're talking about Skyrim, how is your Skyrim adventure going?
About the same as your Dragon Age one, in that I'm going to cheat the hell out of that game. Basically, I'm going to power myself up. I want to experience the story. I already talked about how much I hate the mechanics of it, and I don't like first-person RPGs. So, and don't tell me, oh, you can zoom out and be... No, it's not. It handles shittily.
It's not the same.
Yeah, the over-the-shoulder plays terrible.
And it's one of those things where I think either you're going to love it or you're going to hate it. So yeah. I hated that. Now, I'm going to give the story and the experience the benefit of the doubt, because a game that has almost universal praise, actually it is universal praise on it, can't be bad. Like, as far as that goes. I've never heard anybody really complain about the atmosphere and the storyline of how it goes.
I just wasn't convinced by Skyrim. Yes, you were. Yes, you were.
What about you, Tristan? What have you been up to this past week?
Most of my past week has been spent at my full-time job because I am on vacation this week. I spent last week prepping and making sure everyone was trained and won't miss me too much while I'm gone. So hopefully when I return, the building's not on fire. But deep down inside, a little bit of me is kind of hoping that something's burning. Otherwise, the YouTube channel's still moving along. I have a whopping 334 subscribers at this point, and hopefully growing.
That's pretty good.
I was going to say that when you say whopping, that's not to be like, oh, it's got a whopping. No, that's pretty good. Your growth has been.
Yeah, a couple of months ago, I was sitting at around 80, and I was pretty comfortable and thinking, okay, well, this is moving along nicely. Then one video didn't go viral, but it had some good success, and that brought me a couple more 100 people, and that was fantastic. It slowed considerably since then, but that's a lot of me not being regular enough with the uploads. And so that's what I'm going to be spending a bunch of time in my upcoming weeks, since I'm off work from my full-time job. That gives me a lot more hours to put into developing content for my YouTube channel. So hopefully I'll have a much more regular system there. I need to get a schedule going because I'm a big-time procrastinator. Yeah. I really am. I put everything off to the last minute and go, oh, crap, it's been 2 weeks since I put on a video. I should probably throw something together.
So take some stool softeners and you'll get nice and regular with your videos.
Exactly.
Speaking of your work... I went to your work this week. For those of you that know, I'm in a wheelchair now. So I drove my power chair out. The heat wave broke for a couple of days. So I got a chance to actually get out and about. And I didn't destroy the walls of our apartment building getting out. I drove down to Tristan's work, which is about 4.5 kilometers from here, driving this power chair. So it's like driving a big power wheels. So I drove it down to Tristan's work and I terrorized children. What do I mean by this? As you guys know, I have an amputation. So I had kids staring at me. And some of them were curious. Some of them I could tell wanted to say something. So I caught the eye of one particular kid who was staring at me, and I could tell he wanted to make fun of me. So I just looked him dead in the face, plain as I could. Eat your vegetables or this will happen to you. Kid freaked. He's like, ah! And Blair's like, Michael! And I wasn't allowed to go back.
And that he's not banned. That, he's just...
Yeah, I'm just allowed, was, that allowed to terrorize trip. Children.
For a while.
For a while.
Your traumatization is... Has run its course for now.
I got all my evil willies out while I could. But
you better not have any willies out when you're at my work.
No. I just like to freak out people. It's fun. Anyway, if you think I'm a horrible person, feedback at thisweekingeek.net. Get an automatic entry into the contest.
I'm getting my email out right now. I'm sending you some feedback.
Oh, my
God. Oh, hey, I just got a new subscriber to my channel. That's cool.
There you go. They knew.
Good news live.
So coming up on the show this week, we're actually going to do something a little bit different. Normally we have a pre-recorded review of a show, movie, or a video game right off the top. We're actually going to do it as a live review, a live discussion for about 2 or 3 minutes between me and Alex of the Netflix series GLOW, season 2, which dropped a couple of weeks ago on Netflix.
I won't be joining the discussion because I don't watch TV.
Oh, you need to check this show up, and we'll tell you why. We're going to be talking about that.
My penis.
Yes. Also coming up on the show, we also welcome a new sponsor to the show. We are now sponsored by LibrisArcana.com, a Canadian-based dice subscription service, which you'll hear their commercial pretty much after I finish doing this spiel. But we're also talking about the news that was, is, and forever shall be, the world of the weird, bizarre, and the just plain strange. But we also have a visit to Satan's Pantry and a review of arguably one of the worst Xbox One games I've played in a really long time.
Do you have to sneeze?
No, I'm trying hard not to burp on microphones. I know that'll piss somebody off.
I've seen Michael's face is crunching up tighter and tighter and tighter. Like he's turning his face into a diamond.
Yes. So on that note, we'll be right back right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity, with our review of GLOW, available exclusively on Netflix. Need a new weapon in your battle against evil? Check out LibrisArcana.com for Canada's premier RPG dice subscription service. For only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping, you can get a new complete set of role-playing dice from D4s to D20s delivered straight to your door. Dice themes are new each month and can be anything your mind can imagine and beyond. Visit LibrisArcana.com and subscribe for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping, and be prepared to open up new worlds of adventure.
News on the mark!
So we're taking a look today at the Netflix exclusive series GLOW, which stars Alison Brie, is it?
Yes, correct.
And she plays one of the actresses on the series GLOW, which is Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, a fictional cable access television show taking place in Los Angeles during the 1980s. And season 2 picks up not too long after the first season ends, where the girls, they're successful, kind of. They're coming back on TV.
They ran their pilot, and it was a pretty big success. And note to mention, this is based on the actual show that ran in the 80s.
I haven't seen the Netflix documentary on GLOW yet, but I need to.
It was terrible and hilarious.
See, these are the things I need to get around to.
You do.
But season 2 is a mixed bag of amazingness. What I mean, there wasn't really any boring episodes this entire season.
Do you know what, though? And the only episode I almost didn't care for is the episode that I wanted to see most.
And we don't want to spoil that because Netflix told us specifically not to. But there's one episode this season that you'll either love or hate. I personally love the idea because it was so ridiculous.
I love the idea. I don't know if I liked how it was executed, though.
Yeah. You can tell a lot of love and care goes into this show, especially from the leads. They actually introduce a couple of new characters in here. They replace the character who played Junk Chain, gets replaced by another character who plays, like, she's a Latin version of Junk Chain, and then they have, like, a square off between Black Junk Chain and Mexican Junk Chain, and it gets ridiculous and stupid. Like, winner goes home forever sort of thing.
Yeah, and I mean, the reason the show is so funny and realistic towards wrestling is, behind the scenes, They have, as far as their wrestling coach, I'm going to say in quotes, they've got Chavo Guerrero Jr. Well, you would probably know him from WWE. I forget who he played there. He was a caddy for somebody at one point. He also worked with Carlito, and that Carlito's in the show. So they've got the Guerrero family involved in this. Now, the Guerrero family, Chavo Guerrero's dad actually was the person that was brought in to train the girls in the original GLOW show in the 80s. And if you notice in the show, they're at Guerrero's gym. They're actually at their family gym, mm-hmm. where they film the show.
Oh, that's cool.
So it has a lot of wrestling history in the show. So you've got Chavo Guerrero Jr. actually plays one of the wrestlers that there's the one episode where they challenge the women.
Yeah.
He's the one with the poncho on.
Oh!
So he's the trainer for them, and he's actually like a WWE wrestler. He's done other things, and Carlito's in it too. He's the guy with the big hair. Remember, he used to eat an apple and spit it at people?
See, I was wondering if there were real wrestlers in this, because Alex knows more of the real background.
They were in the last season too, a little bit or so. But Carlito's in this one. He's in this one. And then, what's her name? Welfare Queen. She is... she was known as Karma and Awesome Kong. So she was in WWE. She was one of the few women to enter the Royal Rumble and throw people over. And she was in Impact Wrestling as well. So she, out of the entire cast, she's the only professional wrestler in the main cast.
Wait, Welfare Queen is Karma?
Yeah.
Wow.
You would not see it because you
mind blown.
You're used to seeing her with dreadlocks.
Yeah. Mind-blowing. She's a great actress.
Well, that's the thing. She's really good. And having at least... they have the one girl there that, with the men training them, can actually move with them and do the move. So it was smart to cast a girl who could actually act, too, and be a real wrestler on the set.
Yeah, there is so much to love in this season. Like I said, there's not one filler episode, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, and Mark Maron is fantastic as the director of the show within a show.
One other thing, I also love Zac Efron as the producer guy.
That's not Zac Efron.
Or what's his name?
He looks like Zac Efron.
What's his name?
I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure that's Zac
no,
Efron.
No, it's not. 100% it's not Zac Efron.
Gonna look it up. Keep talking.
Because, no. They could not afford Zac Efron for that show. Even though it is Netflix. But looking at the show itself, they've done a fantastic job of setting it at the, you know, in the 80s. They seem to get the right cars, the right fads. It doesn't feel like it's a parody of the 80s. It feels like you're in the 80s.
You are 100% correct. It was Chris Lowell. For some reason, I thought it was Zac Efron.
Because he looks...
I got him confused. He's the guy from Veronica Mars, Piz.
Okay.
That's what got me confused. I thought that was Zac Efron.
Zac Efron looks like that guy. Like he looks like he's almost right out of the 80s in some things.
He really does.
So that's why I was like, I'm like 99% sure it's not. But that being said, like they didn't need a whole lot of other, you know, quote unquote real wrestlers for this because they've got their staple. The girls do a fantastic job. It looks like they're doing most of their own stunts.
Yeah, I would completely agree with you there. Like I said, there isn't anything there where it looks like they really got hurt. It looks like they're really, like you said, doing their own stunts. It looks like it should.
And it's the lighting, the feel of the show. The big thing is the music they get for each episode. There's generally one or two licensed songs in every single episode, and it sets the tone and feel for it.
Yeah, because I know last season they had Stan Bush, which made me very much stand up and cheer. I'm pretty sure there's a playlist on Spotify. Actually, I'm almost 99% sure that there is.
Oh, yeah.
But no, seriously, if you like wrestling, if you like season one, come check out season two. And honestly, if the show ended here, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah,
it's a good ending.
I still get the feeling it's going to get at least another season. And I wouldn't be surprised if it got more than that.
It's way too good. This cast has such fantastic chemistry without Zac Efron. Because now I feel dumb for even suggesting that.
No, you know what? It was 80s Zac Efron is basically who he's supposed to be.
Discount Zac Efron.
Discount Zac Efron.
So anyway, that is our live review of GLOW Season 2, available exclusively on Netflix. Please check this show out. Give it all the support that it needs. And, of course, do not try this at home. All right, so we're going to jump right into our news segment this week from the week that was, is, and forever shall be in the hearts and minds of men and women around the world and children. And we're going to start off with my story because this goes back to me being a child.
Men and women around the world and children.
And children.
The men and world.
And children. And fuck children. They're second-class citizens, stupid, half-height, having motherfuckers. All they do is spread germs.
Living halflings.
This is true, and they get us sick because we just recovered from a horrible stomach virus due to one of our friends'
kids. That
thing
ping-ponged around us like crazy.
Oh, my God. It sucked. But something that doesn't suck, and this has me so excited, this is news that Neil Blomkamp, the guy who did District 9, is to direct a new RoboCop for MGM. Justin Rhodes is rewriting the sequel script that was originally done by Ed Neumeier and Michael Miner, who wrote the original RoboCop script. And Ed Neumeier and Michael Miner are producing and executive producing, respectively, on this. Now, Justin Rhodes is the guy who co-wrote the Terminator film that Tim Miller's currently shooting that has the original Sarah Connor in it. And they're going to rewrite this, which was a script that was sent to Orion years ago. And it just never got made for one reason or another. And I don't think it's based upon the Frank Miller RoboCop, which if you've read, there was a comic adaptation of it, and it was fucking ridiculous. So I'm really looking forward to seeing a new RoboCop movie. And then I'm not saying the 2014 movie was bad. It wasn't good either. It wasn't my RoboCop.
I won't watch it. It's the same with Total Recall. I won't watch the new ones at all, on principle.
Mm-hmm.
Don't care for the new Total Recall. The new RoboCop is okay, but it's ridiculous in how it frames it. It's just, I don't know, it's weird. One of the parts that survives is his hand. He's literally a torso, or he's not even a torso, he's a spinal cord, a head, and a left arm.
It's too shiny. They make a lot of these things all have this exact same look. Every movie now that is one of these types of movies has the same look, feel, sound, everything. And my uncle worked on these movies, both of them.
Your uncle worked on RoboCop?
Yes. He works for the truck drivers that set up the logistics for all of these.
Oh, that's cool.
So they set up, tear down, clear the roads, all that sort of stuff. And I asked him when they were filming both, I said, what about this? He goes, garbage for both of them. I said, why? And his response was, everybody on set doesn't care to be here. He goes, when he sees the director setting up shots and the director will take a take and then they're like, you want to take another one? That's good enough. And they move on. Good enough on the first or second take.
See, I didn't think RoboCop 1 or 2 and 3 were that
or he
bad.
Would hear, yeah, they'll fix it later. Or hearing other staff members go, they'll just do some CGI. Nobody cares. When that's the idea is they're making it just to it's basically a factory. We're farming out our movie. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens with a lot of these movies is you can see the end product. Nobody really cares. They're just, we've got to pay all these animators that work for us. So we got to make something for them to do. So we'll make this movie because it'll make something of money.
Well, one of the things I've noticed about this, and this is why I'm hoping this movie will be more successful, is you're seeing the reverse retcon, which is happening now. Like, for example, the new Terminator is a true sequel to Terminator 2, which it's retconning Terminator 3, Salvation, and Genesis. You're with the Jurassic Park movies. Jurassic Park 1, the direct sequel, technically is Jurassic World. They ignore 2 and 3.
The Predator coming out.
Yeah, the new Predator.
It's I believe Predator 1 and 2 are real because I believe the main character of
is
this
related
new one,
to Dutch or something?
No, is like the son of Gary Busey's character in the second film.
I think you're right. Yeah, I remember
so,
hearing something about
so
that.
So the other ones are just even Alien for Predator. They're all thrown out.
Which is really weird just to see this reverse retcon happen with movies. Now, in my dream world, you get Peter Weller back as RoboCop. And it's not like he's not in good shape because he did 24 about...
But he's in his 70s now. And could he be in a suit for that long or even want to?
Well, with modern technology, could you do the suit so it's lighter?
But here's the thing. Would he want to? The dude is getting his doctorate in fine art. That's what he's been doing the last few years.
Huh.
He's a very artsy fartsy guy. He'll do something that is intellectually stimulating and interesting in film, but I don't know if he would come back unless there was a very specific thing he liked.
I know he came back for the 25th anniversary screening or the 30th or whatever it was in Dallas a couple years ago, but I don't know if he's doing much. I don't know. Actually, I haven't heard about this recently. I imagine he'll be at the RoboCop statue unveiling when that happens.
Oh, that'll be that sort of stuff, yeah. But
doing a full movie, yeah, you got a point.
He said, I remember when the first movie came out, he hated, like, just in general, how hot the suit was, how dehydrated. And that's when he was in his 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
very
you're
draining
probably
to be
right.
in something like that.
And he's
that.
Like 70-something now, right? So
I don't know. Just if even if he could come back as the voice... Or RoboCop,
or he could work for OCP or something.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just give him some kind of a cameo, and I'm fairly satisfied.
Cameos are a good tool for reboots.
He could be the guy. Does
refresh.
It hurt? Does it hurt?
I mean, I don't like, and I'm not sure what the story should be for RoboCop Returns. Like, if it's based upon the old script, I think it's where RoboCop goes rogue and he realizes he is still a person, and OCP's like, no, you are property. And I think he falls in love with Ann Lewis or something, if I remember the comics right.
So are they going to... They could set it in like a Measure of a Man sort of story, right? Where it's him fighting for autonomy and rights of himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as to define what is property, what is a man sort of thing. And
how much of a man does a man need to be before he's a man?
Yeah, and that's a really good idea, actually, especially now we have all these issues with human rights and whatever else going on.
Yeah, we're on the cusp of AI now, and it would kind of play into current events and what could be going forward with developing rights for robotics and for AI. The political climate that we're in now, where human rights are being infringed upon in the world, and it really just it draws attention to things in a different direction from a different point of view. It's still fantastical because it's in this fictional universe, but it still has enough parallels there where it makes you think about things that we're experiencing now.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's hopefully going to be coming out, I think. Let me see if there was a date on that when it's proposed to come out. Just want to be sure. I think it's supposed to come out in the next couple of years.
It generally takes 2 years to make one of these films and produce it.
Yeah, there hasn't been anything confirmed.
I would just love it if they went more practical effects and stop motion for it.
I would hope so.
It really can't cost that much. I know that the issue is we're losing the people that know how to do those things.
Yeah, it's not a skill that's needed so much in most cinematography now because of CGI and everything.
Like, just get, I don't know, the Aardman Studios to do the stop motion for them because they're experts.
So hopefully we will see what happens with this, and I hope it's successful. I really do. There is no date on this. I mean, one of the things that was said by Ed Neumeier, and this was talking about them doing a sequel, is Paul Verhoeven felt at the time that making one would be declassed, and he wasn't interested in the politics of a sequel. Then the writer's strike came along in 1988, and we were forced off the project. They brought in Frank Miller on a waiver, who wrote a draft, and then another one with Waylon Green, and then it got made by Ivan Kershen, the same guy who did Empire Strikes Back. And then he went off to do Starship Troopers with Paul Verhoeven later on. So,
be honest, Frank Miller's fucked in the head anyway, so...
Yeah, his comics are strange.
I wanted to use a few other words that aren't politically correct for him, but I saved myself.
Yeah, he's a very, very strange man. Moving on, let's see what Alex has for us this week.
I have something interesting. It's kind of sad, but kind of happy. It's going to be very interesting. So, James Olin, you might not know the name, but he was one of the senior developers at BioWare for years and years, since back in 22 years ago. So we're talking the days of Baldur's Gate.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the head programmers for Baldur's Gate, most recently... Mm-hmm. Knights of the Old Republic, and then would be on for scenarios and whatnot on all their other games. He's leaving BioWare. He's one of the most senior people working there, probably longer than I'm willing to bet. There might be maybe like three or four people left that are from that time period as far as a development team. He's leaving to start his own company that is going to make D&D 5th edition books. which sounds interesting because this is somebody who designed the levels and stories for Baldur's Gate and some of their other titles. What makes this even more interesting is how he got his start was people at BioWare had basically headhunted him. He was not in as a programmer anywhere else as a game developer. He was known to have run two of the most in-demand D&D games in the area, to the point where there were months of waiting lists for people to play with him.
Wow.
Wow.
That's how good of the games he ran.
Wow.
That's the type of rep I need, man.
So, I mean, they're not really making those style of games anymore. I mean, they've got Anthem and hopefully, like, Dragon Age, but Dragon Age doesn't play like a D&D game traditional anymore. The first Dragon Age that Michael's having trouble with plays a little more like it, but they've moved very, very far from the Baldur's Gate style gameplay, the isometric gameplay that they used to do. The only companies really doing that on a large scale would be Obsidian with Pillars of Eternity, and that's pretty much it I can think of as far as the million seller mark for any of those things. So he wants to move on and use his skills elsewhere. Doesn't mean he won't come back to gaming, but he wants to do something different. And taking that skill set to D&D isn't a bad idea.
I'm actually surprised a company like, say, Paizo, who does the Pathfinder games and also Starfinder, didn't grab him first.
He might, but it just says that the company he's starting will publish their own books, but licensed 5th edition
The guy must have a huge heart for Dungeons and Dragons because the world is fantastic, and Baldur's Gate was set in Faerun, the world that we played in. So if he's doing that, D&D's 5th edition is currently set in Forgotten Realms, as far as I understand anyway. So yeah, that's awesome for him. I think that's a great way to transition out of gaming into the traditional tabletop.
And it's awesome for the D&D community having someone with that strong... If you have a queue of months long of people that want to play your games, obviously you have something good going.
Absolutely.
You've got the right idea, you have good creativity. So that's just a big boon for the official D&D community and the content that we can look forward to being printed.
I really hope that one of the people that get to work on the D&D books with him is an artist named Jim Zubkovich, who does the official D&D comic book. And Jim has also done, I think he's done stuff for Pathfinder as well, but I know he's a big D&D guy. We've interviewed him here on Twig before. So hopefully I'd like to see some of his artwork in this, but I'm excited to see what he comes out with. Does it say when his first book's expected to be
out? No, just that he's left the company and he's doing whatever. So it's one of those things where it's sad to see him go, but it sounds like he might have worked with Anthem, but other than maybe making some level scenarios and that, I don't see how Anthem translates to D&D. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it was more of and it's just my opinion, I think his role had been reduced to that of one of those people that has senior oversight on something, but not direct input, and he probably wanted to do something with more direct input.
I could see that. I mean, because especially if it's not your baby, you don't care.
Yeah, it's the last time it was his baby, he was basically the head person behind... Knights of the Old Republic.
When you're a creative type, you really want to be hands-on and in there making something, not making sure that it's being made correctly and being hands-off and just watching from above.
What probably happened was Knights of the Old Republic comes out, they give you, here, you're getting your first big game to do on your own. Does that as the team lead. It's one of the best-selling games they've ever done, and then you get catapulted too high when the company does a hiring spree.
Yeah.
And then you can't really ever get back down to that ground level again. Because they would never let you work on another project because they'd either have to pay you more or cut you down and pay you less because of how corporate politics work, especially with the acquisition by EA.
Yeah.
EA would not let them. Like, whereas BioWare, when they were a private company, would have probably been like, yeah, work on your own little side project. You think EA would let him do that? No. He's probably not even allowed to do the book games on his own until he leaves. He's probably going to have a waiting period of a few months before he can make anything.
Yeah.
Even though it's a different medium, because you know EA is going to be a bunch of assholes about it if he does something that they think that they can utilize.
Yeah, non-competition clauses and such.
Yeah, but still, I think we should be happy for this guy. We'll probably see something cool come out of him in the next little bit. So, moving on to our next story, what do you got for us, Tristan?
Well, earlier you talked about movies that you hope are successful, and in other sequels that I hope are successful, Star Wars Episode 9 has announced that, not officially, but sources close to the source and very reliable people, Billy Dee Williams will be reprising his role of Lando Calrissian in Star Wars Episode 9.
This doesn't surprise me, especially since they've got, or they've had Harrison Ford, they've had Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill.
With the recent addition of Lando as a character to Solo, A Star Wars Story, he's kind of in the spotlight at the front of fans' minds right now, so it's not surprising to have him join the crew there. $10 says he dies, because they have to kill someone in every one.
Dies there or dies before they can film.
Oh, God, please don't kill Billy Dee. Please don't take him from me.
Have you seen him? He looked old back in Undercover Brother in 2002.
That is something that has bothered me a little bit about the Star Wars trilogy. The newest one is
the cameos.
Just the characters.
Mark Hamill looks fine.
Mark Hamill's doing just fine because he's been busy being an actor for the entire time. He stayed true to his form. He got fat for a while and then he chopped it back off.
But old even 15 years ago.
Yeah, Billy Dee has not aged gracefully. He still looks like a cool guy, whatever, awesome, but he's not that young charmer that Lando once was in episode 5.
You know what they're
going to
do? You're going to see a DVD or Blu-ray release with behind the scenes where you're going to have two dudes completely wearing green from head to toe
holding him up with
sticks, making him move his arms and mouth and everything. And then they're going to have, I don't know, Kevin Michael Richardson or somebody dub his voice over. He's probably dead and been dead for years. Because he walked like an ancient old man like 17 years ago.
It's been jarring. It's with episode 4 through 6, you've got these characters that are, they're young, they're spry, and they're agile. They're doing all this crazy stuff.
Older even
and
then.
Now, but my point is now with this trilogy between Carrie Fisher and, you know, God rest her soul or whatever, and Billy Dee Williams now, they don't even look like the original characters they were playing aged.
No.
They just look like other people.
Like, Harrison Ford looked still like Harrison Ford.
He was aged, but he was still Harrison Ford.
I mean, a lot of that does come to being. He couldn't do a lot of running and stuff. I get that. He's old.
He still managed to do some of it. Like, they just had to do little cuts where he takes two steps running and then they cut to another one.
Yeah, he did have grandpa stiff neck that a lot of guys get where they can't lift their shoulders anymore or turn their heads.
Yeah, so just the slight hunch and you can't. But that was just him being an aged character. He still looked like Han Solo, just older.
And you kill that one?
He didn't. That's Han Solo. That's Harrison Ford not wanting the character to survive. He didn't want him to live through episode 6, but he did, and so he got his wish with episode 7, and it worked out. The plot was fine. I liked it there. 8 kind of screwed the pooch on everything because it was all about subversion of expectations, and they took it too far. So now all these plot threads are just dead.
Yeah,
and now episode nine has to make something out of everything.
Well, here's the thing: Luke might not actually be gone. They say he's gone. The thing he's been studying, for all you know, could be he now has the power to enter the Force and leave at will.
Yeah, I really feel like he's become Yoda, but even stronger than that.
Like,
because
Yoda
came back in episode 8 and blew up the tree, spoiler. His lightning bolt with the tree is very tangibly there.
Yeah.
So why couldn't Luke do the same thing, but perhaps more because Luke's been there? He disconnected himself from the Force, and now he's reconnected, and all of a sudden he's super powerful.
And if he shows up, to make it as goofy, he just shows up naked. He's back naked. And
he's got one of those alien creatures' tits beside
him. And then what happens? Then he's the almighty power. Like, there's just too many problems with it. But so I'll still watch the movies. I've got no problem. But I'm going to watch this and go, please kill him in the first 5 minutes, because it's not believable having like great grandpa be in this. Like, if great grandpa can't, you know, drive a car, why would you let him near a spaceship?
Yeah. Yeah, he had a hard enough time flying the Millennium Falcon. He, you know, knocked off the antenna during the Death Star battle. So, what's he going to do now? Try to parallel park?
But really, he's aged the worst out of almost all of them.
Which is unfortunate, because if you in the Star Wars Legends, aka the expanded universe before it got wiped out, Lando actually did a lot after the movies. He had the Lady Luck, which was his luxury space pimp yacht. He ran asteroid mining operations. He still ran Cloud City, I think, to a limited extent. He was a mover and shaker in the Star Wars world. I don't see that in Billy Dee Williams.
I'd rather have Boba Fett crawl out of the Sarlacc pit.
See, and that's another thing, too. With the failure of Solo, A Star Wars Story, those movies have been put on hold.
Yeah.
Probably for a little while, because I think, honestly, they shouldn't have started with Solo.
Should have been Obi-Wan.
Yeah, it should have been Obi-Wan. Yeah, Solo, then Solo, well, then Boba Fett.
Well, there's been interest in Solo as a character. He's neat. It's not really the biggest part of what people go to Star Wars for. They like the whole Force thing. They like Jedi and Sith. If you go and you play the Old Republic game, most people are going to play the Jedi. They want to wield the lightsaber. They want to use the Force.
Yeah.
They don't want to be a smuggler necessarily.
Everyone's had a blaster.
Some people do. It's cool, but it's not what draws people to Star Wars in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, guns are neat, disruptors, blasters, but fuck that, man. I want a laser sword.
Yeah. So, yeah. Move on.
Move on.
We don't want to drag it down.
We'll see how episode 9 goes. Hopefully they can salvage something out of what episode 8 has wrought.
This isn't the sequel trilogy. It's the...
It's the sequel trilogy about 15 years too late.
Here's all the Star Wars stuff we have. Let's throw it in a pile and see if we can make a movie
out of it. It's the Medicaid trilogy.
See, you know what? And you talk about Star Wars The Last Jedi. There are people that like it, love it, or hate it.
Yeah.
I'm in the like it pile, but I don't love it.
Same.
I like it because it did do something different. I don't like it because it threw out so much of the expanded universe canon, like 35 years of established history. And people are pissy about Rey and Kylo Ren. Whatever. I like Kylo Ren. I like Rey. But you know who I'd rather have? Fucking Mara Jade.
You know, all I can say with all this is, you know, I'm laughing as a Star Trek fan. Welcome to our world.
Constant all over the place retcons.
The last 15 years of what's happened with Star Trek.
A retcon con.
Oh, I forgot about that for a brief minute.
But yeah, don't worry. So that's it. Moving on. We don't want to talk about the story anymore.
Yeah, because ultimately it'll start a fight.
Yes, it will get us frustrated.
But anyway, so moving on, we will go to what happened in the world of the weird, bizarre, and the dust plain strange here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity.
What makes you qualified to be a reporter?
I'm willing to violate anyone's privacy for my personal gain and then claim with a straight face that the public has a right to know.
By the hand of Zeus, what manner of deviltry is this?
I love fake alien poop day.
Welcome back to Twig, and this time we're talking about the weird, wonderful, the just plain strange from what happened around this planet we happen to call Earth. And as you guys know, we try to avoid politics on this show, but sometimes it's inevitable. It just happens. And this week, this weekend rather, U.S. President Donald Trump, I'm sure everybody's favorite man in the whole wide world, is visiting Jolly Olding on the land of Fig Newtons, Doctor Who, and bad teeth. But...
Oh, okay, that's politically correct. Actually, that's just sort of a fact, I guess. So
it's a stereotype.
It's a stereotype, but it's a funny one. What are you going to do? Okay, fine. Tea time, if you will. So
properly freshened drinks for the governor.
So Donald Trump this past week had a number of faux pas with the Queen, in addition to showing up late for tea time, walking in front of her when she's a 90-something-year-old
woman. Oh, God, he did that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and it gets worse. So they thought some protesters would show up. That number, I think, was over 500,000 people. You if know, not, 250,000 for sure.
You know what? If this was a different era, that is, it's not even a matter of, like, going to war. That would have been enough to kill him on the spot. That disrespect to the crown?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, depending on... I guarantee you he's told in certain Arab nations not to do that.
Now,
because that is enough to get you killed. Regardless of who you are.
Now, the main reason I bring up Donald Trump is not because he's a jerk, and I think we can all agree on that.
Whatever side of the fence you're on, I think you're willing to bet he's abrasive.
Yeah. And we can agree that protesters come from all sorts of colorful backgrounds.
Correct.
Well, this one has a bit of a unique, geeky spin to it. So, one of my favorite villains from Doctor Who has decided to protest President Donald Trump as a Dalek showed up, dressed up in a toupee and red tie to protest President Donald Trump's visit to England. So,
did it say anything like, you know...
Prejudice!
Prejudice!
Exterminate! Oh, no, don't say that.
Build the wall! Build the wall!
Mexico will pay for it. But yeah, so it's ridiculous. So it's this Dalek
showed up.
So this Dalek showed up flanked by fake Secret Service agents and was just going down the streets of merry old England this past weekend. And I couldn't help but think, of all the protests I've seen, I've seen some signs say, Donald Trump, go home, you're a tyrant, you're a racist, blah, blah, blah. And those are all typical signs you expect. But it's always the weirdos, the ones who decide to take things a little bit differently. And I can't think of anything else. Actually, no. There was another time in history. I can't remember what politician it was, but they're arguing on the floor of British Parliament, and another guy called another dude a Dalek on the floor. He's like, you croaky-faced Dalek.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, okay.
Well,
nerd
right
insult.
Left field. I was going to say, is that the most British protest ever? And I was thinking, no. The most British protest ever would probably be something as simple as they turn their back to him. Or they don't look him in the eye when they talk to him. It'd be something so subtle, but they'd be like, oh, the biggest British insult ever.
It's like the Canadian version would be not holding the door for somebody, or you get in their way and you don't exchange stories.
You don't pay for their timmies.
Something iconic but subtle.
But at the same time, the Brits do like to say things like, get fucked, every now and then, so... I wouldn't be surprised if this leads to something bigger.
One of the protest signs said, get fucked, you numpty apricot. I remember that
see,
one.
See, I'm telling you, get fucked. That's pretty much like, and it's like, get fucked, you
get
fucking. As they're swilling back a pint.
I love British people yelling at me because I think it's hilarious.
Like, well, actually, only thing that could be better is if the Dalek was not in the Dalek voice, if it was voiced. By what's his name? The Juggernaut.
Oh, Vinnie Jones.
Oi, get fucked as he's riding down the road. And it's the Vinnie Jones Dalek.
This needs to happen. So that's my weird story from around the world this week. Oh, that, and there's a giant baby Trump floating over London right
yes,
now.
Yes, reports that the giant baby Trump balloon made Donald Trump feel unwelcome in the UK. That's because you are, Donald.
I am surprised the Queen didn't do something.
Well, like, she tried to walk with him, and Donald's like, I'm going to walk so fast.
Well, first of all, that's offensive in general, but when he goes there, there is an itinerary that you were given. This is what you do for the culture you're in. It happens every time you go to a country. And the fact that he didn't follow that's not a little mistake. That is, like, underlined. You walk behind the royalty. You sit... after the royalty, and regardless of if you think that the Queen is just a figurehead sort of thing now or symbolic, it's symbolic of respect for the world. If you don't do the basic customs of the country you go to, you are disrespecting the world. And for whatever reason, he doesn't seem to think that people care, or that
the rules
or
don't
that or that or that it matters. And he's not seeing. It's not even the long term. Like there. The amount of money they're probably having to spend to protect him from assassinations at this point, when he goes abroad, it's insane.
Yeah, I was actually
even
saying
domestically.
I'm surprised no one's taken a shot at him yet. And I'm not endorsing that because murder's horrible.
There's likely been attempts, but not anything significant stuff where they're just plotting or they're discussing it and then they just thwart
it. But he's
going
to have
him.
To be careful. There are certain countries you can't do this in. And it was generally unspoken that England was one that you respected, and he obviously has no respect for anybody. He doesn't have respect for his own people. So that's what I don't get, is how do you support somebody who doesn't even respect his own people?
Yeah, somebody who's decided that NATO isn't really worth being a part of. The system that's arguably perhaps held the peace for 70 years, and he just wants to exit. He doesn't think they're doing anything. Oh, NATO's terrible. It's the worst deal ever sort of deal.
But again, I don't even know if any decision he makes is his own, or if it's... I don't even know if people are whispering in his ear things. I don't even know if he gets briefings.
I think he ignores them.
I think... How is he in office? How is his party even remotely not doing things to get rid of him?
Because he's a distraction. And it's getting a little more political than I like to get on Twig, but... Donald Trump is a distraction to say, hey, look at the big oaf over here, while the rest of the Republican Party does all the evil things over here.
Yeah, and I mean, I see it, but How is a gun-toting American nut, I'm saying in quotes, how has one of them not just killed him yet? Or not even attempted?
Because a lot of them think he's doing good for the country because they're being spoon-fed the wrong things. They're being spoon-fed lies and quote-unquote news from biased sources that they want to follow.
I mean, it's weird when we talk about this, and this will be the last talk we talk about politics for a while.
Yeah.
But when it comes to media manipulation, you gotta give whatever team is spinning it props, because they're controlling the narrative so well, and even the sides that lean a little bit left are playing into it too.
And if we're sounding like crazy left wing, it's not that. We're just logical, reasonable humans at this point.
We're observers from slightly outside the affected area. We're in Canada, which means we are affected, but we're a little further away from
the ground zero. I'm not even approaching this as somebody who's like a socialist or that, that. Take that out of the equation. Use your brain. Is he doing good for the people? Is what he is doing morally good?
Yeah.
And if the answer to that is yes, ask yourself, what makes you say that? What proof do you have that he's doing good? Okay, well, you could argue, what proof do you have that he's doing bad? You can see a lot out there that he's doing this bad. So I've yet to see any proof that he's done any good from any vantage point.
And even in that light, Hitler did a lot of good.
We're not saying that Hitler's good.
No, but Hitler did good things. The bad things that he did were horrifying.
So it's scales here. So yes, Hitler might have done better things for the people than Trump's done, but he also did significantly worse things.
My point is that Hitler did some good things, but he committed so many atrocities that he was an evil man. Trump can do some good things and still be a bad person.
Trump does not come across as an evil person. Trump comes across as the most
arrogant and self-centered,
the most inept person they've ever had in office, worse than Reagan. Reagan had no place being in office. But, oh God, Reagan. Reagan's the best. No, Reagan was another person that was a figurehead.
Yeah, Reagan was part of the system that has come down for decades now. The big, long con from the Republicans to create a certain system that is now coming into effect where they have so much power, and there's all these indoctrinated ideas into the public view of this is bad, this is good. Words like communism and socialism are knee-jerk reactions that they are bad things.
Words that socialism and communism are the same thing when they are
vastly different.
Very different. We're not going to get into that lesson, but it's amazing to me. Like, it's like everybody in the world is watching and going,
what are you doing?
What's happening next?
What is today's headline about Trump?
I have been avoiding the news for that reason, just to not watch. I had no idea he was visiting England, and now you tell me that he's done probably the most offensive thing he could possibly do in England. Short of, I don't know, giving a wet willy to the Queen.
Defecating somewhere in the castle.
Or you know, saying she looked ugly or something in public. Doing something that disrespectful. Or wiping his nose on her sleeve or something.
I don't know. Just to disrespect the Queen of England, who I'm sure is actually probably a very funny lady.
From all, you know, documentaries that have been out there about her, all intents and purposes, there's a certain level of show that you have to put up as royalty. And apparently behind closed doors, she's actually a very nice, personable person. But there is the whole
difference between the crown.
I am the crown, and I'm also a person. And as a family member, everything you hear is she's a great-grandmother, is good to staff, friendly, and she has to live within her own role. But at the same time, you would never see her show up in the States and poo-poo their customs.
No, absolutely not. So I'm glad a Dalek showed up. I'm hoping the next time he visits, we get Cybermen and something. My God, that'd be cool to see an army of Cybermen march.
Cybermen vice president.
Oh, my God, I want Sontarans. I'm a nerd. Moving on.
Here we go.
Dork. What do you got, Tristan?
Well, also in the UK, but it did have its ripples around the world. Build-A-Bear Workshop, the teddy bear place. You could get to make your own custom teddy bear. They're well known to have a pretty high price point for their custom-made teddy bears, but they were offering a promotion recently where you get to pay your age up to a maximum of 30 pounds, I believe, in the UK, but prices vary from country to country. The gist is, if you were an 8-year-old kid buying and creating a teddy bear, you paid $8, or £8, or eight whatever. The craze was so severe that in the UK there were queues, or lineups, if you're not from the UK, over 5 hours long. They were over 1 mile long to get this promotion. The police had to be called in because crowds were getting rowdy. People were denied completely, and Build-A-Bear actually pulled out of the offer after a certain point because it was getting out of control.
Yep. And this happened over here in Canada as well. I know locally, the Masonville Mall, which is in London, Ontario, had lines that were over 5.5 hours. They eventually said, okay, we can give you $15 off, but the event is over.
Yeah, they pulled out completely. Still get it,
but at the same time, if you're waiting for 5 hours in line, isn't your time worth more than that?
Yeah, you could go work for 5 hours
and
anywhere.
Also, here's a question. That brings it into things, I guess, consumer society. At what point were you actually going to go there in the first place? Where were all these people when the sale wasn't on? Was it something you needed to have?
If anything is ever on sale, you are not saving money unless you were explicitly going to buy that product already.
Like, if you're like, hey, for Christmas, I was going to buy 2 bears. And I was budgeting for that.
And now it's cheaper,
like,
because of
the
offer.
And now it's cheaper. If I go now, if I wait 5 hours, instead of trying to wade through it at the Christmas season, I can get both bears for less than the price of one. Then
you
maybe
are saving money in
your
budget.
I thought the Build-A-Bear fad ended 4 or 5 years ago.
No, it's still quite popular because now they have different licenses, like my.
But
I don't think it's quite a fad like it was. Now it's just kind
of
a permanent
installation.
I've seen
stores close locally because they didn't get enough business.
There's one here in Guelph a few years ago, and it's no longer here.
The one in Kitchener's gone too.
Yeah, there's London and Mississauga.
And between this area, that's 500,000 people, and they couldn't afford to keep one open. So this sounds like the shawarma sauce bullshit. Somebody sees something, I'm like, holy fuck, now I've got to go buy it because I have to have it because it's in the news and it's on sale, and I got to show my friends I got it.
I'm going to bring my infant and get a bear for $1.
See, now I'm not going to lie. I wanted to do this because me and Blair's wedding anniversary is coming up and I wanted to stuff T-Rex. But I didn't figure it would be this popular. I figured maybe you'd have some lines. But 5-6 hours? That's ridiculous.
They wanted to cap it at 9 hours. That's the point it was starting to reach when they decided to call it off.
Wow, that's
nine
insane.
9 hours. That's an entire day, essentially.
Yeah, that's
for
hanging
a
out.
Bear that you could just go pay a bunch more money for anytime.
The
masses,
just do it online.
The vast majority of these people are so incredibly ignorant. I want to say stupid, but there's a portion of them that will be. But the ignorance involved in this and the lack of forethought into going into this.
Build-A-Bear or the people buying?
People buying it. The Build-A-Bear, they shouldn't... There's no way they could have expected this amount of people to show up. Because, I mean, their product, like I said, seemed to be on the decline as far as... You had dedicated fans that you're saying that would go. But I think the general public, that fad had fled. But there's no way they could have foreseen this amount of people showing up. So this is just dumb people flocking to whatever deal they can find.
I think a lot of it might be a bit of a logical fallacy in which they put in the time and effort to get ready that morning, and they went to the store. Then they found there was a 4-hour, 5-hour, 9-hour queue, but they were already there. So they might as well, because they're already there. That's called the sunk cost fallacy, which means you continue to do something because, well, it would be a waste of what I've already put into this if I were to just cut it now.
If I were to do this myself, I'd wait maybe 2 hours. That's
2
it.
2 hours?
Because...
What's your time worth to you?
If there is a lineup more than a handful of people, out.
Here's a question. How many of these people work?
Well, parents. Some of these people could be on salaries.
No,
so.
But it doesn't matter. You can't leave your job for 5 or 6 hours to go do this.
You say it's for your kid. There's a lot you can do.
No, you can't. Not in today's world. Time is money. They would not just let you go for 5 hours to get a bear. So what day was this running on?
I don't
Thursday.
Know. It was
Thursday,
last Thursday. So it
was
a work
people
day.
These people don't work.
Yeah, these are the stay-at-home parents. These are the people who are not if the, currently if that, employed if for one reason or another.
If that is what your time is worth to you, fine. But that also meant that your kid had to take a kid with you that long, and the kid had to go pee, like, because it was pay your age, you said, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, just think of this. If you're there for 9 hours, up to and including 9 hours, and you're paying, let's say you brought a 9-year-old kid with you.
Yep.
And so you're getting a $9 bear. And what would it normally be for an average? About $80 off for like a
about
stacked,
50.
Yeah, it depends
50
on the bear.
For a stacked
there's
one.
Premium ones, and then there's
okay,
the
for
regular.
Okay, let's say you went for a stacked bear. The maximum would be
about $80. We'll say.
$80.
So you're talking, you're saving $70 roughly.
That. So what you're telling me is that your time is worth anywhere from $5 to $10 an hour.
To play devil's advocate, what's your child's happiness worth?
Your child will be happy with something else.
But then again, having a child there for 9 hours, that's a lot to ask of a kid.
And
yeah,
I guarantee
that kid's going to go nuts.
The kid will play with it for like an hour, and then, or the kid will go, I don't even want it anymore.
Yeah. That's another thing.
See, that's my thing is, it's not just what is your time worth. Like, if you were working that day, and you left work to do this, and you're an hourly person, and you took a leave or took extra hours off, are you telling me it's worth that to you? Or would you rather work the extra hours, get the money, and
just get it online?
And just get it online, or go when you have time and it's not busy. Like, if your time is precious to people, wouldn't you rather be spending it doing fun things with your kids?
Yeah, that's true.
And that's my argument is, the people that stood in line for this are incredibly ignorant, or didn't really think things through. Because you know what you could have done? You could have gone to the movies with your kids or done something fun,
yeah.
Gone to the park.
Or got a teddy bear somewhere
you
else.
You could have gone and picked up a couple Power Rangers toys or a teddy bear somewhere else and played with your kids.
Well, here's the thing. Why didn't they offer this online? Because I know they want the foot traffic for the stores.
Because it sounds like the stores are closing, like between the Kitchener here. It wouldn't surprise me if the stores needed a boost.
It's a lot easier to sell someone extra stuff for their bear in person than it is online.
Yeah, that's true, because then it's right there. You can see the cost in your face.
If you're sitting there online, you want a Darth Vader teddy bear, you just buy the Darth Vader thing, you get there, maybe the lightsaber to make it authentic. You don't need the voice box. But there in person, you can say, hey, you want a voice box? It'll sound like Darth Vader.
Yeah.
You can do it like, hell yeah, and now you're spending more money.
Yeah, that's how they got me for the My Little Pony, right?
Exactly.
Because they
works.
Wanted the voice box.
Salesmanship is difficult online.
It's true. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, I feel bad for the kids that went home disappointed. I myself, once again, I said I would have done this because I wanted the dinosaur, but...
Those kids should have learned a very healthy life lesson.
Buy online and buy through Amazon?
Hopefully some of those parents would help drive that life lesson home.
Those that really wanted it and waited through all of it learned that patience is golden. That's one.
Yeah.
And if they're a kid that is going to truly appreciate the bear, they learn that. Other kids will have learned that their parents are assholes because they went with them because their parents made them so they could get a cheap bear for themselves. That's the worst kind of parent that took their kids to get a bear for themselves and made the kids stay. Because I guarantee you there's a second.
Oh, yeah, there's probably a few that did that.
And that,
which is terrible.
That is child cruelty. If you make a kid there for like 8 hours so you can get yourself a toy.
Yeah.
Because I think it was limit one per customer.
Yeah.
So
there's that. And the other lesson you might have learned is your parents are morons.
So on that pleasant note.
Kids, I hope
you
lost some respect for your parents today.
So that is what happened in the world this past week, from Donald Trump to disappointing teddy bears.
Thank you, UK, for an interesting week.
Yeah, hopefully you will be less disappointing next week.
Fuck Teddy Ruxpin.
I know where you live.
So coming up on the show next, we have a visit to Satan's Pantry, and then I have a review of Sudden Strike 4 on the Xbox One, and it's not a fun one, folks, so we'll be back right after this, right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity.
Welcome to hell.
You wouldn't even serve it to a pig! It's inedible!
Welcome back to Satan's Pantry. I am one of your many delightful victims for the evening. I am Mike the Birdman Dodd. I am joined with...
Are you looking at me, Alex?
And Emperor Wayne. I haven't been here in a while.
It feels like that. It's been a while, because we typically record these out of order. We record them weeks, even sometimes months in advance. And in today, Alex is bringing us something from Japan. What do we got today?
The only bit of English on here is the brand Tohato, like tomato, but Tohato. And there's nothing else on it. 2003, and then a bunch of Japanese I can't read, which I'm assuming means award winner for something. They look like half, you know, what, like a Ringo? Like the Ringolos.
Yeah.
If you cut one in half, the half the thickness, it's got a pepper with a jack-o'-lantern mean face on it with five peppers. Basically, I was told that they're death chips. So
excited.
There's no other English
on
there.
I'm terrified.
And these are right from Japan. Roommate ordered a bunch of stuff from Hobby Link Japan. He's like, would you like to get some death chips to try? And I went,
this might cure my cold.
It might.
This might blow up my asshole.
And I mean, we've had a lot lately that have been like, oh, this turned out really good. I don't know.
See, I'm hoping that the 2003 was the expiry date.
Oh, no. No. The expiry date on the back, they use their numbering system differently. Because I'm pretty sure 2016 wasn't when it expired.
I hope not.
But looks like June 16th is when it expires, or best before.
Okay.
So I'm gonna crack it open. It's in one of these little mini bags that looks like you have a tearing part at the top. Yep.
One like you'd find at a gas station. A tiny bag of chips that costs $4.
Yeah, like fancy. Oh, wait a minute. Let me see here. What is it?
Take a whiff.
They don't smell particularly strong.
See, I'm thinking that they're like the Japanese version of spicy is super mild.
I'm grabbing three little pieces because
okay,
that
we'll
makes
let
one
Lee grab
basic,
them.
Basic Ringolo.
Oh, I hurt my elbow earlier too, so this is hurting.
Okay.
All right, bottoms up.
Yeah, all right, let me try them out.
Need a couple more here.
All right.
There you go, sir.
I'm taking a sniff of the bag. Yeah, it doesn't smell that hot. It smells kind
of
bad.
They are the exact texture of Ringolos. There's a bit of pepper. I'm not feeling it yet, but I know it's going to come. There's a bit of something there.
Okay, so I've got... I'm grabbing a few now. Thank you, loud-ass motorcycle.
Yes, feel the fire. No, I would say...
I have four of them.
I only chewed it on the right side of my mouth, and it didn't really touch my tongue much. It's not overly strong. But I get the feeling if you ate a lot of these, you'd start to feel it.
I taste a lot of corn product.
Yeah. I think that's what's...
it's spicy.
All right, so I say give the rest of the bag to Lee and have him finish it off and see what happens.
I'm going to try another couple.
No, you sure? Here,
that's it.
Yeah.
All right, Lee, you go. Have a bunch more.
You
see what
you
think.
I don't want any more. They're all yours, buddy.
I can feel it. It's tingly, but...
You are...
Man, I've had like the Blaine's Death Rain chips, and they immediately take you out.
Yeah, because those are made to hurt. I'm not sure... But the fact that it has five peppers on it makes me think it's supposed to be hot.
My tongue burns now.
It makes me think it's a 5 out of 10, frankly, but...
But, again, they... You know what? I don't know like if they're known, other than wasabi, for really hot food there.
I don't think
so. Like, if this said product of India, five... then I,
okay,
like,
now my mouth's starting to burn.
It's a little bit. I've got a little bit on my tongue, but it's not overly... Like, I've had the Blair's Death Rain chips, and they're way worse.
Without chewing, I'm, like, just rolling them around in my mouth to get the stuff off of them.
But you're
it's
also, like...
Bad.
You're like the human...
the human torch.
Oh, sorry, I hit the back of my throat there. a human garbage disposal when it comes to these foods. It's like, oh, I'll have the haggis one. Oh, I'll have this. Oh, I love the taste of this one that tastes like licking basement floor.
I love Band-Aid chips.
But then you wouldn't drink the jelly drink.
I drink the jelly drink.
Did you drink the jelly
drink? I drink the jelly drink.
Who else wouldn't drink the jelly drink?
It wasn't Tristan. I know
chunks.
He wasn't fond of it.
I thought you didn't like him because you didn't like the chunks at the bottom.
Oh, I did. I drank it.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like enjoy it?
Oh, me. I love that shit. That was great.
The only thing I liked was those Jello shooters that we had.
All right, so finish them all at once. One big mouthful. You can do it. You can do it.
We believe in you.
I can do all of them at once, but I can do a big pile of them in there.
Yeah, pile it up. Pile it up. More, more, more.
He's trying the Japanese death chips.
They're not as hot. I only had three of them.
I had like 10.
I'm getting him to eat the whole bag.
I'm going to see what will happen. Lee is
you
a
see what I
factor.
Mean? The human garbage disposal when it comes to these foods. And that's not... We're not criticizing you or making fun of you. that's an awesome trait to have.
You just have an iron stomach.
Like, I'm the kid in high school that would be like, you know, give me $2 and I'll eat that pepperoni off the ground. You're the guy that would just do it for free. We'd just look to the, we'd look to the right, and you'd already be on all fours, and you'd be licking it off the ground.
I don't think I would go that far. But, okay, I just maybe put 30 or 40 of them in my mouth just now.
Getting pretty warm?
No.
Wow.
Man.
Bigger man than I.
Now, is it going to clear your sinuses, you think?
No.
No?
I mean, my nose is already running, so... I don't know, maybe a little, but...
Just maybe don't touch your eyes.
I wasn't planning on it.
Or your dick,
yeah,
apparently.
Don't touch your dick.
I wasn't planning on yanking it anytime soon, but... Now that you mention it, zip.
On that note...
Use the bag.
On that note, we're going to bring to a conclusion this episode of Satan's Pantry. And I guess our verdict is not bad.
Not bad, but underwhelming.
Yeah. I was expecting a lot worse. More.
I was hoping to bring the pain.
We tried. Someday something will hurt us and it will suck. Anyway, so for this edition of Satan's Pantry, I've been the Birdman, joined with Emperor Wayne and...
Alex.
Alex. We're still looking for a name for Captain Sparkle Pants over here.
You see, with Lee, it shouldn't be Emperor Wayne. It should be Lee Trash Compactor.
But that's my gamer tag, is Emperor Wayne.
Yeah, okay.
Now back to Twig, the flagship of stupidity. This has been Satan's Pantry.
Listen, 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 listen. Fuck off, fuck off, fuck off, fuck off. Get out! Get out! Idiots!
We are taking a look at Sudden Strike 4, European Battlefield Edition, on the Xbox One. This game is probably one of the games I actually had the most trouble reviewing for this show, and not because the game is difficult or hard to control, though those do play a factor in this review. Actually, this one comes from an accessibility point of view. You might be asking, Mike, what do you mean? If you remember back to my God of War 2018 review, I explained that I have difficulty seeing the screen because I have to sit about 6 to 8 feet back, which typically is your length you're sitting from your TV to your couch. Anyway, however, with Sudden Strike 4 European Battlefields, you're playing an RTS. For those of you that don't know, RTS stands for real-time strategy. So think games like StarCraft, Civilization, etc., etc. Except this one takes place during the Second World War. Obviously, you're playing different campaigns around Europe, and you play as both the good guys and the bad guys. And the reason this is an accessible review is the infantry units on screen are so small that I'm pretty sure I've seen ants on my TV appear bigger. And I'm not saying that just because it sounds cool. No, this game was ridiculously hard to see. The camera is pulled way too far back from my experience with it, and the difficulty curve floats between being okay and I'm going to murder you. However, getting an RTS to work on a console in and of itself is a minor miracle. When the controls work for this game, it actually works out fairly well, and I would actually like to see other games ported to a console, much like my beloved StarCraft 2, but that's likely not going to happen. Come on, Blizzard, I hope you're listening. But anyway, I digress. Back to Sudden Strike 4. It's not that this is a bad game. It's a game that definitely wasn't optimized for the Xbox One. If you were playing this on a PC and you're sitting fairly close to your screen, I think you've actually got a pretty good experience here, all things considered. But if you're playing this on Xbox One without keyboard and mouse support, which hasn't arrived yet on the console, I think you're in for a frustrating experience, to say the very least. So I cannot recommend Sudden Strike 4 on the Xbox One simply due to accessibility reasons for myself. But overall, the game just isn't that good of a port on the Xbox. Loud-ass fucking noises! And guys, that has been our show for this week. Once again, big thanks to our sponsor of LibrisArcana.com, where you can check out their monthly dice subscription for only $7.97 with free shipping. Be sure to check them out. Once again, LibrisArcana.com. Coming up on the show this week, I may have another botched role. I'm going to talk about how to pick your first RPG. Are you a player? Are you a storyteller? And we're going to go into a little bit of detail with that. So I'll be looking on that later in the week. We should have another turd or treasure, which
correct.
What is worth your hard-earned money? Is this good? Is it crap? You're going to have to stay tuned to find out. What's coming up on your YouTube this week, Tristan?
Well, the 8.0 pre-patch for World of Warcraft Battle for Azeroth is dropping on Tuesday coming up. So there's a lot of changes to the live servers now. So everything that people have been learning about on the test realms and in the beta servers, that's coming into the general population now, so there's going to be a bit of a changeover for those people who are looking for some, what's going on, where do all my abilities go, what's different, what's new, what's coming up, so hopefully I can provide some clarification for that. I want to keep my videos straight to the point, because everyone else takes freaking 3 minutes to get to what they actually want to talk about, instead of giving a life story ahead of time, a 30-second dubstep intro. Screw all that noise, you want the information, my channel will have it for you.
They all sound weird, too, when they talk.
Yeah.
They sound like English isn't their first language, but it is.
My favorite and most thing I hate the most about YouTubers now is smash that like and subscribe button. Fuck, I hate that phrase.
Yeah, I hate the word smash in all senses except for brothers.
Yeah, exactly. There. Smash Brothers we're okay with.
No, that and
smash it's Brothers, the, that like button.
I don't like the thing where they're saying things that are completely obvious, as if they're a revelation.
Yeah, here's some clever wow moments that you probably knew already.
Or it's like, here's some facts that you might not have known. It's like, this is a game for this system. And like, it's like, they'll repeat something that is not beyond, it's beyond common knowledge.
The ones that I dislike are if a game has a new patch that comes out, and here's the patch notes, and they read the patch notes word for word out loud.
Just sum it up.
And then they'll finish that and say, oh, so what this is going to do is this. And they'll try to reword what they just read.
They don't give real interpretation or insight. They just give a paraphrase.
Also, when they get the words wrong and keep saying the words wrong.
There's a YouTuber. I like his gameplay. It's for World of Warcraft. It's for the class that I'm playing first, the Death Knight. He's a YouTuber. He's a good guy. And he has good content, except for the fact that he can't pronounce certain words at all. Like, he
and
just says it
not,
wrong.
Not like a speech impediment, just like...
No, he just looks at it, he doesn't take enough time to realize what it actually says, and he just says it wrong.
And that seems to happen a lot, or was it like... It's always these, like, groups that you see, like, the Sportster, the something-something, and it's these collectives where they have three or four people that do video content every day, and it just sounds like they're English-speaking robots, but they're... but they are... I don't know. It's almost like, are people dropping out of high school so that they can then just make these videos all day?
There are people who do it full-time that have no business doing it full-time because they don't understand what it really takes to have a career in YouTube. I know it's not something that I'm going to be doing full-time in a year. It's just not realistic. It is a lot of work to have a YouTube channel, and people don't realize that. They just think, oh, I can play Call of Duty. I'll just upload my Call of Duty game, and I'll talk about myself over it for 10 minutes, and I'll put that up. That worked...
About
10 years ago.
Yeah.
That was fine, but now and I mean, you need to be unique, you need to be entertaining, and you need to have something of value.
For myself, if I decide to stream something on Twitch or YouTube, I might do it, but I'm not doing it to be professional. It's just... for me just to do something.
Yeah. Number one reason, the only way you're going to be successful on YouTube and Twitch and all these platforms is you're doing it because you want to. Not because you want to make money, not because you're doing it for a career, but like, because you're making videos because you like to make videos.
The quality of the video I might put out is directly related to how happy and how successful I want to be. So I'm not going to put in, you know, a million hours of effort into producing something that I don't see as being a professional thing. For me, I'd rather just have it be a stream of consciousness. If anybody listens and watches, great. If they don't, it doesn't matter, because for me, it was just an outlet just to do something. In your case, you're getting more and more subscribers, so you're going to want to do a little more and more to... You have a fan base where they're wanting a certain amount of content.
Yeah, the people that have subscribed now, this is why I've become a full-on WoW YouTuber. I started off by doing just general reviews and just whatever was there, and Sea of Thieves was the start of it. But Sea of Thieves has kind of fallen off for now, something I'm keeping an eye on, because they do keep adding more and more to that game. But the bulk of my subscribers started to come into the community when I started putting out WoW videos and little discussions about how you can pick your class for the next expansion and information about the systems that are coming into the game. So this is what people want from me. They want World of Warcraft content. That's why they click subscribe in the first place, because of WoW. So if I suddenly start going back to Sea of Thieves, they're not going to care and they're going to unsubscribe.
Yeah.
So you end up kind of in a direction, not pushed and forced into a direction, but you have to know your audience and understand what they actually want from you.
And also, when you establish a certain level of quality, you sort of have to keep it. So yeah. If I start out doing garbage shit that nobody cares about, then I'm golden.
Yeah, that's the biggest advantage of having almost no subscribers or being, I'd say, under 100 is you can do whatever you want. Like, just experiment. Just try everything and just see what you like, what your end result is that you feel good about making.
Play video games on split screen, the other side is you making a Jackson Pollock.
There you go. There's your hook.
I don't think actual cum is against their policy. I think it's the shooting of it.
On that note, that has been your show this week. I've been joined with this lovely idiot and this other more sophisticated idiot.
I'm a sophisticated, lovable idiot.
All right, so for Twig, we have been
Alex
and Mr. Christopher.
I'm Mike Dodd, I'm never getting out of this. We'll catch you guys again next time, right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
I talk about cum a lot.
Well, kids, that's enough for one night, eh?
You know, I don't think this show is suitable for children.
I don't think this show is suitable for anybody.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear something like this.
Insert a clip here, you dick.
Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net for more geek content. And subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Follow and message us on Twitter at thisweekingeek. And check out our Instagram at @twig_official_podcast. If you're the good old-fashioned email type, send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
We now join America's most popular show already in progress. Everybody loves Hypnotoad.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The internet can be your window to the world. Or an open door that lets cyber criminals in. Online theft, webcam spying, and identity fraud are all on the rise. But you can stay safe with Kaspersky Lab, the world's most awarded internet security. Kaspersky protects your money, privacy, identity, and data with technology perfected over 20 years. So keep exploring. Kaspersky Lab will keep you safe online. Learn more at Kaspersky.com.